Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live at the Bill Ford Top Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry in for Boomer this morning. He is out there in Minneapolis. I might have to have you ask around that studio there. There's got to be a big Vikings fan out there and ask them who the hell the quarterback is going to be, the starting quarterback this year, if it's actually going to be Sam Darnold, or maybe they got something up their sleeve. And also get somebody out there to confirm that Zach Wilson isn't going to go to the Vikings so I don't have to deal with Sam Darnold and Zach Wilson in a Vikings uniform, and I can tell Boomer to go screw. But if the engineer, whoever you're dealing with there, is there someone's a Vikings fan, just ask them, what is ear to the ground out there, what is going on? Because that is one of the teams that still doesn't have a quarterback. And what's interesting is Justin Fields has not been traded yet. These other teams are filling out their rosters with quarterbacks, and there's one place that still doesn't have one, and it's within the division, and you'd think that they'd never make a trade. So, like, what in the hell is going to happen with Justin Fields now that Gardner Minshew went to the Raiders, where everybody thought he was going to go? There was one big destination, and Kirk Cousins went to the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, I don't know, and I read one article this morning talking about that whole situation in Chicago, and that he might have to get ready to be a backup quarterback, which is really remarkable, because Al and I were talking about this yesterday morning on the warm-up show. Like, we talk about Justin Fields like he's this failed quarterback, and, you know, he's been around for a while, and it didn't work. He's 25. He's played two seasons, and his last six or seven games were pretty good, and yet no one seems to want him, or there's no trade value for him, and so maybe Chicago's not going to get rid of him. And then you also hear all these stories about how divided, like, Chicago fans are about what to do, what not to do. It just seems like it's a franchise that can't get out of its own way with that position. They've never really had a franchise quarterback, and I don't know that they're going to have one next season. And your team doesn't have a quarterback. I mean, maybe Sam Darnold will be good. I don't know. But, it's if it wasn't in the division, you could make every case that that's a perfect fit for him. But I don't know. I mean, I don't envy the people making the decisions in Chicago right now, because I don't know what you do in that spot.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the consensus is that you have to draft Caleb Williams and you end up dumping Justin Fields for whatever. I mean, maybe at this point, You see what some of these other guys have gone for in the trade market, and you're not going to get what you thought you were going to get, and that's fine, but you got to turn the page at this point. I mean, there are teams out there that would absolutely kill to have the number one pick, and I don't think that you can pass up on Caleb Williams, and I know that it's a crapshoot, but I just don't think, I mean, if he is worse than Justin Fields, then that obviously is a bust, but there's a good chance that he's better, because it's not like Justin Fields lit the world on fire. You know?
Damned if you do, damned if you don't. And if you're the one that makes the decision to not draft Caleb Williams and he goes somewhere else and becomes a star, you look like a fool. You draft him, get rid of Justin Fields. Justin Fields goes out and plays well somewhere else. Caleb Williams. And there's the other thing, too, about him playing well or not playing well. How many times have we talked about this with the Jets? Sometimes it's not all the player. Sometimes it's the coach. It's the philosophy. It's the staff. It's the players around him. Maybe Caleb Williams will be a great quarterback in one spot. Let's say the Chargers with Jim Harbaugh. I know they have a quarterback, but I'm just making a point. You know, maybe he goes somewhere where there's good instruction, there's good coaching, a place like Kansas City with Andy Reid. They knew what they were doing with Patrick Mahomes. Maybe Patrick Mahomes isn't Patrick Mahomes if he comes to the Jets because they don't know what the hell they're doing at the position. Maybe it's a Chicago problem. I don't know. All I know is I don't want to have to make that decision if I'm running the Bears right now.
All right, so if you go through all the teams, and I'll spare you just going through every single one of them. But yeah. The Tennessee Titans, what about them? I know that Will Levis played okay for them towards the end of the year. They don't have anybody other than him. They're moving on. You know, Tannehill's not going to be there anymore. I mean, is that a place for Justin Fields?
Why not? Like, why wouldn't it be? Will Levis is going to prevent me from making a move to upgrade the quarterback position?
I wouldn't. I mean, and like, who's going to be the Denver Broncos quarterback?
Great question.
That'd be another one, right?
Yeah. I mean, you just, in 30 seconds, you just came up with two other teams on top of, as well as the Vikings.
Yeah, but other
than that, it's got to be the return. That's what it has to be. My guess would be the Bears are not going to want to trade a first-round pick and get back. What did the Patriots got for Mac Jones? What, a sixth-rounder?
Yeah.
I've got to think you get more for Justin Fields, but what is more? A fourth-rounder? A fifth-round? This is a guy who you had excitement about coming out of college is the next great thing. The same way we're talking about Caleb Williams right now, the same way we talked about Zach Wilson a couple of years ago. I mean, we see it over and over and over again. Yeah, some hit, but most fail, actually, at the NFL level.
Yeah, and so other than that, so in the NFC, as I mentioned, the Vikings are probably the only team that really doesn't have a quarterback right now.
Is that it?
The Commanders are going to draft one. We know that.
Okay.
The Bears, obviously, they're going to draft one and get rid of Justin Fields. The Seahawks, Geno Smith.
They picked up his option, though.
Yeah, I think he's gonna stay there.
Yeah, I don't. My guess is he's their starting quarterback. That's why you pick up. They could have walked away from him. They didn't.
I mean, the Giants have Daniel Jones, Drew Lock, Tommy DeVito, and maybe they're going to draft somebody. So, yeah, I mean, to me, it's the Vikings with Sam Darnold as a backup right now.
Yeah.
The Denver Broncos and the Tennessee Titans.
Not a lot of options, but they do have options, you would think.
Yeah, because the Patriots are going to draft a quarterback, too, so they're not going to bring in Justin Fields.
Right.
So those are the ones.
It's just remarkable to me when we talk about the transition from the college game to the NFL. Even who was it? I played the clip the other day. I don't remember who it was, where they were a former NFL player just talking about how it's going to be really difficult for Caleb Williams to make the transition year one. Like, they would sit him the full year. I don't remember who it was. The guy was on the Rich Eisen show. I forget who it was. A former quarterback. And it was Ryan Leaf, I think, where he just thinks that Caleb Williams' game doesn't fit the NFL. And then there are others that think that this is the greatest thing we've seen since John Elway. I mean, and then you're sending him to Chicago, which is not a quarterback-friendly team, hasn't been for as long as I've been alive, aside from a year or two with Jim McMahon. I mean, you know, you almost wonder how much these guys are set up to fail. You know, like, if Zach Wilson went somewhere else, is he a better quarterback? I don't know. All I know is he was terrible here. You know, if Caleb Williams goes somewhere else, would he be better off as opposed to being in Chicago? It's not easy.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I can't imagine, though, that there are more people in Chicago that want to hold on to Justin Fields than not. But apparently it's a great debate out there on what to do, basically because there's been so many busts at the top of the draft, and Caleb Williams kind of seems like a douche.
And this is a big one, too. At the end of the season last year, multiple Bear players said if he's not our quarterback, there's going to be a revolt inside this locker room, meaning Justin Fields. So it's not just the fans. Like, you've got players there that love him. And he did play well down the stretch. Like, that's the other part of this, to where you talk about staying the course sometimes. Like, you know, we give these guys such little time. When we grew up, I mean, my God, you drafted a quarterback. You didn't see that guy for a couple of years. Not one season, not 6 weeks, a couple of years. Because of the way this stupid-ass cap is, and the way you pay guys now, if you don't hit with a quarterback in the first couple of years, it's like he's trash. And it's just, sometimes you got to give a guy a little time to develop. What if Justin Fields is just hitting his stride right now? and finally has the grasp of what he's trying to do at the NFL level and maybe has control of the Bears, you might have the next best quarterback for the next 10 years, and instead you're willing to part ways with him to bring in this kid from, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, but think about it, too. I mean, there is a case to be made, since Caleb Williams is an unknown, that you can trade away that pick to a desperate team and then use those picks to build around him. Plus, you got a million picks to begin with, and you could make that case. I mean,
you could load up for sure, but yeah. Then it will always come back to, you better hope Caleb Williams doesn't turn out to be Joe Montana.
Yeah, and I mean, Boomer was so high on him. I mean, remember the stuff that he said about how, like, the NFL was thinking about putting in a draft lottery so teams wouldn't tank for Caleb Williams? This was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, that's how well-regarded he was at one point.
And isn't he the one whose dad wanted part ownership of whatever team drafted him?
Yeah, that was a rumor, though. I don't think that... He might have said that in passing, and then people just laughed it off, like, "Oh, you some sort of idiot." Okay. Like, I don't think that was a real that was a real thing.
Nothing would surprise me anymore.
Yeah. No, I know. That's the thing that scares me the most about Caleb Williams is this "I already made it" mentality, mm-hmm. and that is now he's going to get his ass handed to him one way or another, and he's going to have to get the smelling salts the hard way, but. He's either going to be one of two guys. He's going to say, "All right, now I'm here. Now I got to prove everybody that I'm the greatest, and I will not stop until I do." Or he's going to waltz in there, think that he's hot bleep, and then just get crushed and hurt, and he'll be a total bust.
So learn the hard way. You ain't kidding.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Kenny in Bayonne. What's going on, Kenny?
Gee, how are you?
Good, Kenny. What's up, man?
All right, brother, listen, I want to talk about Fields, and just at the end, a quick shout about Zach Wilson, please.
Okay.
So if I'm Chicago and I'm going to move Fields, why wouldn't Washington or why wouldn't New England give a number three, bring Fields in, keep your number one, and rock? Fields is only 25, and he's at least proven his ability, and you could still work with him.
You're telling me that, do you want the Commanders to trade for Justin Fields and then also draft a quarterback at the top of the draft?
No. Not draft the quarterback. Why would, no, keep your number one and go elsewhere with
All right, I got you. Yep.
You're getting a 25-year-old kid. You know what you have. You've seen it. He's a decent quarterback. He's only 25.
I'm with Kenny. Like, I don't think he's a bust.
That's what I'm saying, Jerry. He's not a bust. So right. You have something to work with. You keep your number one, and you go.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, here's what happens, though, Kenny, is this is just human nature, I think, with a lot of these general managers, is one, they want to draft their guy. They want it to be their guy. Two, when you haven't seen someone play in the NFL, your projections sometimes get inflated. Three, when you draft the quarterback, as Jerry just pointed out, with the cap rules, and that guy starts fresh on that rookie contract, it's a hell of a lot easier to build around that guy, whereas someone like Justin Fields is going to have to get paid sooner. So with all those things going on, it's just more enticing for these general managers to draft a guy as opposed to trade for someone like Justin Fields, even though in the end it might be the better idea. Right. Joe, Rhode Island. What's going on, Joe?
What's up, guys? I just had a quick question for Jerry. Like, did Jerry not want to take, like, an afternoon host job or something? How did some of those other guys get hosting jobs over Jerry? Because he's great.
It's very
which
nice.
Which other guys, Joe?
I'm good.
Well, you know, I don't want to name any names, but...
It's too bad. We like doing that here.
You're very nice.
You got Salty Sal in the midday. You got Penis Patter in the afternoon. I just can't figure it out.
Oh, Joe, that's funny. No, we love our colleagues here. I just wanted to bust some balls, because why not? Jerry has said, and I'm not going to speak for him, but I have heard him say, and he can answer the question, I've heard him say that there are a lot of times that there's days where he really is happy that he's not hosting shows.
That's true. I love doing a show here and there. I love filling in, but on an everyday basis, I prefer doing what I do. I really do. I like doing games. I like having the flexibility to do other things. A full-time talk show host has never been my intention, ever.
All right, Jeff and Tom's River. What's going on, Jeff?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Jeff. What's up?
Love you guys.
Thanks, man. What's up?
Yeah, I'm a huge Bears fan. Have been since I was 8. 46 years old. Walter Payton got that started. Anyway, I'm for keeping Fields. 2 weeks ago, my opinion might have been different. I think the number one overall quarterback rarely works out, kind of along that last caller's thinking. I just wanted to see if you guys could flesh out a little bit. Besides Ryan Poles keeping his job for longer, how is it good for the Bears as a team to possibly swing and whiff on Caleb Williams? I don't have a good feeling about this guy. Fields can play, trade the pick, get a haul of, you know, haul in return. And you got a team. They've already made some solid moves. And you're just resetting a very unsettled clock if you do the Williams deal. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting because if you think about, all right, so you know what you have in Justin Fields to a degree.
To a degree.
You don't know what you have in Caleb Williams. But one thing you do know is that a team would give a tremendous amount of picks and whatever back, maybe even players back, to get up to number one. And what you also know is you're probably not going to get much more than a third-round pick for Justin Fields. So when you put it that way, I mean, it makes keeping Justin Fields a hell of a lot more attractive.
I agree. I totally agree. And when I say you kind of know what you have in Justin Fields, I'm again going to go to the improved play in the last quarter of the season that just finished, and he started to look like the quarterback they thought they drafted.
One more here, Scott in Dallas. What's going on, Scott?
Hey, guys. How you doing, man?
What's up, Scott?
How's it going?
Good.
I heard you guys talking about Chapman this morning and his mom, and there's a quick story about moms with Caleb Williams. I don't know if you guys remembered, but he used to paint his fingernails, F Notre Dame,
Utah.
Then he jumped into his mom's arms and cried when they got boat raced in the last game he played at USC. So, you know, he was in the fetal position in his mom's arms up in the stands. And it was just, I don't know if his character is what it makes to be an NFL player, man.
And that's when legendary talk show host Al Dukes killed him and got written up about.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yes, Scott. I mean,
it's true, though.
I don't think it's true. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was in the New York Post. Legendary talk show host Al Dukes says Caleb Williams is not going to make it in New York. I don't think that Caleb Williams was groping his mother. I think he was just in her arms. So, like at the time, it looked worse than it does now post Aroldis Chapman video, right? Doesn't it?
I would agree, yes.
Yeah, it's like we judged him a lot more then. Now I'm judging him less after I saw Aroldis Chapman do what he did to his mother.
I totally agree.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've got
CeeLo back. He's got an update moment of the day. What's going on, CeeLo?
All right, brought to you by the Farmer's Dog. Fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. Also brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. Spent a lot of time on the Knicks this morning. 106-79 blowout of the Sixers at the Garden as they bounce back from the 79-73 loss to Philadelphia Sunday at MSG. So they split those two games against the Sixers at MSG. Josh Hart, another triple-double, 20 points, 19 rebounds, 10 assists, and OG Anunoby had 14 points in his return from injury, played 29 minutes. So his return sent Precious Achiuwa back to the bench. This game on TNT last night, they were discussing Precious's or Achiuwa's contributions to this team in the absence of some of the injured players, and Shaq basically didn't want to pronounce his last name. He was just going with the first name, so the crew decided to press him on that to see how he would fare, and here's how that sounded.
You said everybody's last name, but you said Precious. First name?
Is that people going to try that?
You want to say a second name?
Go ahead and say it,
Shaq. Second name.
Go ahead and say it.
What is it?
Achiuwa.
Achiuwa.
That's not a chua.
Yes,
that's a chua, Shaq.
That's not a chua.
Yes, it is.
C-H-I is not chua.
Tell me what his last name is.
No, it's chua.
He said he's a doctor.
Shout out to Nigeria.
Achiuwa. So, Shaq's always good for some entertainment there, but he was giving Precious his props as he has come in as part of that trade and I think surprised a lot of people with the contributions he's been able to give to the team thus far. You guys spent a lot of time on the Aaron Rodgers VP story this morning. I'll just remind you of the quote that he had to the McAfee show basically 2 months ago, January 8th, regarding the Jets. Quote, anything in this building that we're not doing that has nothing to do with winning needs to be assessed. The BS that has nothing to do with winning has to get out of the building. So I don't know if you want to kind of draw a comparison between the two. I know that's not necessarily what he was referencing, but this obviously has nothing to do with football.
I mean, I just wondered, this is another one of these things. I could just see Aaron Rodgers doing this when he speaks the next time. He'll be like, did you hear it out of my mouth that I was doing this?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, so the mainstream media grabs a hold of this, and I know that RFK, you know, it's something that he thought about and thought it would be, but I never said it. I never said I wasn't committed to the Jets.
I talked to RFK Jr. He's a friend. He could spin that any way he wants.
And that's all true, but there's no way Kennedy puts this out there without having spoken to him.
You see yourself, Jerry?
I do.
Oh, that's actually.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Why did we wait till 9:30 to do this? Steven, why'd you wait till 9:30 to do this? That looks great.
We had all that time during the Aroldis Chapman talk.
Wow. Yeah, my good. Yeah, you could have edited that video. You could have put some you could have blurred out the boobies, Steven.
I'm sorry, you go ahead.
Hello? Anybody?
I didn't mean to cut him off.
No, it's fine. The awkwardness between CeeLo and Stephen Waldron is just something that was going to meet in a cacophony of disaster.
We've actually had some great conversations.
At some point.
And we communicate brilliantly over email throughout the course of the movie.
That's funny.
Wrong button.
That's funny, Steven. That is funny.
You know, I had forgotten, you know, we were in here doing the warm-up show, and Al mentioned that you alerted him to the Chapman video, and I never circled back to watch it. Thankfully, you brought it up, whatever that was, last hour, last segment, and I went and watched it. It was even worse than I could have imagined.
Are there sounds with it?
That I don't know. Let's hope not.
I don't know.
No, I saw it. I didn't have the sound up, and I didn't know if he's making weird noises as he's doing what he's doing.
I don't know, but she looked very, as you might imagine, very unenthused by the whole thing.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah. No, it's gone now. It's gone.
It is gone. Sites,
someone reposted it on Twitter.
But he took it down. So, by the way, just to be clear, that is Al, not Aroldis Chapman, grabbing his mom's breath. I'm sure I can
suckle the breast.
All right.
And that was, what, a half hour ago you checked and it was still there?
Yes, it was. Yeah. I guess word got back. I don't know who got to him.
Probably a lot of people.
Here's the...
Is that the mother speaking, or is there a TV on in the background?
No, that's the mother speaking.
Are there people there?
Well, somebody else is filming
Someone's
it.
Yeah, videoing.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on?
I don't know.
You didn't see this yet?
No, I did, but I didn't hear it. That sounded like there were people conversing.
Well, it was, yeah. No, there's multiple people there, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This gets weirder.
It's not what you want.
No.
It's not what you it's want. Not great. What you want.
Well, I wonder, like, God. So I wonder, I don't know, did he Google his own name? Did someone, like, someone reach out, like, Aroldis, this doesn't look good?
Anyone from the Pirates organization?
Oh, my God. I wonder if some of the PR guys that I know still work there. How's your day going?
all right. Loosely related to baseball, or that was loosely related.
Imagine you're a PR guy for the Pirates and you wake up to that.
No.
Oh,
all the things.
Man.
That's about as bad as it gets. All right, so we know John Sterling's not traveling as much these days as far as the Yankees go. They're opening the year in Houston, but he will apparently be part of the opening day broadcast and series, which is great. That was, I guess he talked to Neil Best yesterday, and then Andrew Marchand had this, if we're looking ahead to this year and the radio broadcast for the Yankees, what to expect out of John. Both Justin Shackle and Emmanuel Barbari are supposed to each call 25 Yankee games this year. So that's 50 games right there where you won't have John on the call. So scaling back a little bit, but obviously we'll still be heavily involved with these Yankee broadcasts this season.
So it's Justin Shackle and Emmanuel Barbari.
Yes.
Say? Sorry, I was
25 apiece.
Emmanuel Barbari's getting 25 games.
That's what it says here.
Good
that was
for
from
him.
Marchand, unless I'm just reading what he wrote. They'll each call about 25 Yankee games.
I've officially thrown my name into the ring for consideration.
Oh, boy.
Cannot help yourself, can you?
No.
Emmanuel's like 25 or 26 or something,
yeah.
Isn't he?
Very versatile. Does a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes, show hosting, play-by-play.
And classic pipes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's got a good voice.
Dulcet tones.
Yeah.
And I wonder a very nice guy.
I wonder if this is something that Peter Schwartz will be irrationally angry about.
Probably.
Do we know if he threw his hat into the ring?
Oh, he throws his hat into every ring.
Every ring, yes.
Come on, man.
He ran out of hats.
He threw out all the rings.
He had to go to Lids to get some more.
Oh, man.
He volunteers to collect the hats after a hat trick.
This guy, his hat's in so many rings. I saw him climbing a metal stanchion to call like a high school hockey game last night.
Yeah.
That's what he posted. Like he climbed like King Kong on the Empire State.
He climbed up the stanchion to go be able to get a better view.
Oh, man.
That's some sight.
Oh, boy.
All right. So since moment of the day is long, I'll give you a choice here, either or. Do you want to hear from Nick Saban, Capitol Hill, and this NIL roundtable and what he said regarding his wife and the current college athletes? Or do you want to hear out of context Ocho Cinco from the Nightcap podcast?
Oh, it's obviously the Nightcap
right, now,
stuff.
Now, let me just, I'm going to tell you right now, and you know Marco Belletti puts in some stuff for us that he comes across throughout the night, and Jerry will appreciate this. Here's how he wrote, this is the slug, ready? Ocho used to run numbers in Harlem, and then in parentheses, Marco wrote, I don't know, I can't understand what the F they're talking about, okay? So maybe you guys can help decipher some of this. So here's Ocho and Shannon, and it sounds like maybe somebody else mixing it up here on the Nightcap podcast.
Listen, I used to be in Harlem back in the day, back in 83. Now I was working with Frank Lucas. I was a runner. My mouth had to be slick when I ran numbers.
Yeah. Okay.
He don't know about that. Like, he run the number tree. A 1, a 0, a 9, a 5, a 6. He run the 3-5 photo.
Right,
Hey,
right.
Look, I ain't had a chance to meet you yet, but you finna get this work, boy.
Hey, it's the only thing that works. Yeah. I can't wait to see
you. And animal wear suit, too. Yeah, I be peeping you. I'm locked in. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm locked in. I'm wearing a suit, too. It's going to be somebody's funeral.
So I'm like, Marco, after listening to that, I don't know what the F they're talking about either. So,
but the one thing that doesn't make sense, he said 1983. That's 41 years ago. What was he, 7?
About that movie, Frank Lucas and Denzel Washington. He's talking about that whole thing. I think he's pretending like he was a part of that crew and that character and that movie and everything else, whatever the name of the movie was. That I should know, and people will be screaming at and tweeting me. But yes, that's
what
I think.
Is it a recent Denzel movie?
American Gangster, yes.
Oh, okay.
American Gangster. All right. Yes, thank you.
So a little role play then, perhaps, yeah. there?
By
that
the
makes
way,
more sense.
I can't. My favorite Shannon Sharp clip recently that it keeps getting played everywhere and like shows up in the golf algorithm on social media is Cat Williams and him talking about golf. And Cat Williams goes, you know, they're talking about like something like patience or something, you know? And this is the Cat Williams 60 million view video.
Yeah.
Have you seen this one?
No.
So Cat Williams, who's got like just a great voice, and Shannon's got a great voice.
Yeah.
So Cat Williams goes, it wasn't until I became a golfer. And then Shannon Sharp goes, you golf? He goes, yeah. He goes, my short game is impeccable, and I ain't give you nothing but 200-something off the tee, but I come in for par every time. And then Shannon Sharp goes, you play from the tips?
Now he's giving you 200 off the tee.
He goes, you play from the tips? And then Cat Williams goes, no, I found that they don't give you anything extra for that.
It's the greatest clip of all time. I can't get enough.
Oh, boy.
I ain't give you nothing but 200 and change off the tee, but I come in for par every time, guaranteed.
That interview got 60 million views, huh?
Yes. We talked amazing. About it yesterday. 60 million views.
What a world.
On YouTube.
That is remarkable.
Apparently, it translated into $6 million of ad revenue for Shannon Sharp.
Yeah. Wow.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Very good. Also very good, Rangers 1-0 win over the Hurricanes last night in Raleigh. Another shutout for Igor Shesterkin, who hasn't given up a goal now in over 133 minutes of game action. You did have Wagner winning the NEC title college hoops-wise. Congrats to them. Fordham VCU today at Barclays Center. Atlantic 10 second round. You got Rutgers Maryland this evening. Big 10 opener. Jerry on the call.
On 880.
There you go. On 880. Thank you. I should have included that. And then MAC quarterfinals, Quinnipiac, Canisius, and then Iona Fairfield. All right, let's do moment of the day. It's brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it.
Yeah!
All right, so this all stemmed from this throwback on the tweets in the afternoon show and Al's tweet, as it turned out, from 2016 about some tool putting toilet paper in the urinal here at work. And he said, you shake it, dummy. You don't pat it dry. Well, Al's tweet, Evan comes clean, admitted to being that dummy. And not only did he admit to doing it, he also perhaps inadvertently told us that this is something he does regularly at the urinal, and that led to multiple segments of fun here this morning.
Their take on that is who cleans it up, not that he's patting his penis dry with toilet paper after peeing in a urinal. What?
He is strange, man.
I have never... How could they be like, oh, who do you think cleans that up? That's the take? I've never in my 41 years on this planet heard of a man take a piece of toilet paper and pat his penis dry.
First of all, that would have to be premeditated because you'd have to go into the stall to get the toilet paper to bring with you to the urinal.
Well, he used to bring his own toilet paper. I don't know if he still does.
Dan in Northport. What's going on, Dan?
Yo, how's it going? Did you catch Evan the other day when he said that he never picks up the toilet seat in his own house when he pees?
I mean,
that's just...
This guy's an animal.
Yeah. I had no idea.
I'm going to come back to something I said yesterday, G. Can you imagine Tiki looking at him as he's revealing this yesterday?
Yeah, I don't. This man's ran a marathon in South Africa. You know what I'm saying?
Like, he must have went home and told his wife, you believe this animal that I work with? The picture I now have in my head is Evan walking away from the urinal with the thing hanging out trying to throw the toilet paper in the garbage.
Bro, what are you doing? You know it's out, right? Do I need to tell you that it's out? Because it is, if you know what I mean.
Larry in Indiana, what's going on, Larry?
Oh, not much, just not much. I just been trying to call in and talk to Boomer and Geo, and then I heard them talk about this morning. So I said, well, wait, I wasn't circumcised, and I don't wipe it, and I've never had an infection, so I don't know. Maybe some do, some don't. But
yeah. Well, Larry, thank
never
you.
Never heard of it in my life.
Okay, good. Yeah. Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Larry.
Needless to say, this struck up quite the debate and conversation this morning. So we had,
and there's an update.
Oh, there's an update. Okay.
Evan, I saw Evan tweet that he will explain, and he's got a reasonable explanation for this.
Oh, of course he does. Great. I'm, in his eyes, it's reasonable. I'm sure
he's
it'll
got
be
a
very...
vagina. I mean, there's no reasonable explanation other than that.
Because he can't even say, like, well, I was just in a rush and it was a one-time thing. Because he's admitted that he's a patter at the urinal.
I gotta see his tweet now.
You think about
oh man, I didn't see that one coming, G.
Between the beard, this guy on Twitter pointed out we forgot about the milk stained clothes he left in his office overnight.
Oh yeah,
bad that smelled.
I mean the bird baths, it just never ends.
I forgot about that.
The shorts under the pants. I mean, it's just the list is just ever
growing.
And
so Chris, you circle back to Al this morning. And I agree with Al, but I agree with you. He's put himself in these spots.
Oh, yeah. Now, this, I mean, I get Al's point. It's like,
me too.
The Marashes, the Lugauers are supposed to be the fall guys, but Evan is his own breed. So you can't.
He's his own worst enemy.
Yeah, no, he's never going to be the guy that's the. Man. He might lead the show, but as far as the self imposed humor, he's at the top of the list.
Yeah, I mean, if he's going to say that he has a perfectly reasonable explanation.
There's
I just
no
saw,
shot it's perfect.
I just saw the post. Yeah, there's no way. I mean, like, listen, people, they leak, they dribble, but he can't be dribbling more than the average person. I don't know. Is he the Allen Iverson of pee? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, is he dribbling more than everybody?
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll look forward to that explanation on tomorrow morning's program.
All right. CeeLo, it's good seeing you. Yeah. We'll see you tomorrow. Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Built Ford Tough Studio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So are you going to be out there, Jerry, tomorrow on Zoom after a Rutgers win tonight?
Yeah.
Is that what's going to happen?
Yeah, regardless, win or lose, I'll be here tomorrow morning because the way it works is you don't charter normally. The conference sets up your flights, so I think we would fly late morning, early afternoon. So, yeah, I'll be here again tomorrow.
All right, so you'll be there no matter what. Now, where...
Yeah.
You want us? What email do you want us to send you the Zoom link for our after show meeting?
I forgot about that.
Or we could just call you and put you on speaker if you'd like.
You have my email address.
Yeah, I obviously we're kidding. We're just I just wanted to get your reaction to that.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's okay. What are you going to do today for the rest of the day? It's 65 degrees in Minneapolis. What are you going to do?
Not a whole lot. We got breakfast when I get back, and then right to shoot around, practice, get back, basically have lunch, and then go to the arena. It's really very busy today. Today's going to feel like 5 minutes, because remember, the game's at 5:30 out here.
Oh, that's right. Yep, hour earlier.
So we go to the arena. We go to the Target Center at 4. So it's a very quick day.
Yeah, and I know, and I'm 100% with Al Dukes on the Gerrit Cole injury stuff. There was an update yesterday after the show, so I'll spend just a couple minutes on it here at the end of the show. But there is no way, and this is not being negative, this is just experience. This is an educated guess that I'm sure you would agree with me on. But there is no way that the way that this is trending right now with Gerrit Cole, that you're going to see him at least in April.
Yeah, the way I'm reading it, and I think is kind of like you, is, and I think if you're a Yankee fan, what the hope would be is that he's not lost for the season. That if he's going to miss a month or 2 months, so be it. As long as you get him by June, July, hell, even all this team, and this is the big if, and I know you can't do this, but I don't know what else we're supposed to do aside from shut the sport down. This team's lineup should be good enough to where they can win a lot of games. The Texas Rangers lost Jacob DeGrom last year on a second start, went on to win the World Series without him. As good as Gerrit Cole is, they're paying Carlos Rodon a bleep ton of money. They brought Marcus Stroman in. Nestor Cortes should be serviceable and good enough. They've got guys that can go out and pitch, and they've got a lineup that should score 6 runs a game. This should not end their season by any stretch of the imagination after what we just saw in Arlington. That having been said, if you're a Yankee fan, just hope he's back by midsummer and everything should be fine. And I'm with you. When you need multiple people to read an MRI, you know, Aaron Judge had an MRI. We found out 24 hours later what was going on, even though they didn't tell us he was having one. With this one, this one's weird. It really is. And I know I heard you earlier about, you know, maybe it's that they can't tell what it is. Maybe that's it. Maybe he's fine, but they're very, very odd, the whole scenario.
Yeah, and the longer that this thing goes on, the more that you distrust what the information is going to be. Because think about it, too. Like, the Yankees just went through this whole thing about how Aaron Judge was fatigued with mid-spring fatigue. But clearly, CeeLo said this morning, too, he was grimacing after that one swing in the spring training game. And then it turns out he has to go for an MRI and on his abdominal muscles.
Cry me a river, puss boy.
So, I mean, legendary talk show host calls Aaron Judge puss boy.
I mean, that's quite possibly could be a headline. But yeah, it's just the two top players on the Yankees, the two guys that you can't live without, are both dealing with something now that could make them miss opening day.
It stinks.
It's just amazing.
And then the fact that you see all these reports about the Yankees re-engaging the White Sox, about Dylan Cease, like smoke fire. I mean, you don't have to be a genius to realize something is not right with Gerrit Cole, and it might be longer than anybody wants it to be.
Yeah, I mean, anything where him not pitching opening day is longer than anybody wants it to be. But I think I heard McMonagall, Bob Lorenz McMonagall is a hyphen in between Lorenz and McMonagall, host of Yankee Hot Stove. He said this morning that he would sign for after the All-Star break. Like, he would sign for first start after the All-Star break. I wonder if, I mean, that's a lot of time.
It is a lot of time, but if he's fully healthy, 100% healthy, like I said, this team should be good even without him. And if you get him, you know what they say, G? It's like making a move at the trade deadline. Oh, man. It's terrible. The whole league stinks with these. Lucas Giolito, with the Red Sox signed him. He's done for the season having elbow surgery. I mean, it just sucked. DeGrom last year. It's such a waste.
It really is. All right.
Let's keep paying them $50 million a year. It's great to make, you know, 15 starts.
15 if you're lucky.
If you're lucky.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.